It is February 4th, 2013, and you are listening to episode possibly 17, but I'm not quite sure, of Free to Play. My name is Brian Belita, and I'm joined by Imran Khan.
Hi.
Mark Bradshaw.
You're going in a weird order, because usually it's you, then me, then Imran, then Matt.
I can't play favorites all the time. I'm sorry, Mark.
Okay.
Also, Bradshaw. It's 18, just for the record.
What's that?
It's 18.
It is 18. It's February 4th, 2013. You're listening to episode 18 of Free to Play. My name is Brian Belita, and I am joined by Imran Khan.
Hi.
Mark Bradshaw.
So I just want to bring up the fact that you don't know what Moon Patrol
is. What's up?
Hello, everybody.
I'm with Mark. I love Moon Patrol.
No, I'm with you guys, too, except
you,
the
cow version. You never heard of Moon Patrol before we brought it up.
We didn't have Moon Patrol in Africa.
We didn't have Moon Patrol in Connecticut.
Oh, man. Is Connecticut Africa?
No.
Let's find out tonight on this episode of Free to Play.
I never saw Moon Patrol in an arcade cabinet until I went to Fun Spot.
An incredible thing happens when a person takes control of Williams. What does that mean?
What? What are you reading?
Reading the goddamn cover art of Moon Patrol.
Oh.
It says, an incredible thing happens when a person takes control of Williams.
Williams Moon Patrol.
Okay. That's weird.
I just like the little moon buggy was apparently pink this entire time. I had no idea.
That buggy owns.
Yeah.
It's showing its feminine bride.
Yeah.
This is sweet.
I thought it was the most amazing thing when I was a kid that the little wheels would move up and down with the terrain.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, all things considered.
Why is the moon grassy?
Why not?
They added
because
grass.
The moon.
They added grass.
Oh, of all the things going on, and once again, we're discussing a cover art image in a podcast.
Doesn't need to bring it up. We're talking.
I apologize, but no. Of all the things going on here, like, the moon is on fire, number one. Pretty sure the moon can't catch on fire.
That is a pretty amazing feat, I'm not going to lie. That the moon is on, I don't know, maybe they oxygenated the atmosphere or added
it. They never said it was Earth's moon.
It just occurred to me, this is the prequel to Mass Effect.
Oh, shit.
Exactly
that
right.
That is totally the Mako.
Yes.
It's a pink Mako, but that's the Mako. Straight up.
I think the Mako being pink would have made that a lot more interesting.
That would have been sweet.
If they just made the Mako missions Moon Patrol, then... that I would just play the Mako missions and not
side-scrolling. Man, I remember climbing so many mountains with the Mako in Mass Effect 1. Just like completely just like, oh, I wonder if I should go over fucking here. And then I just do some weird freaking climbing shit in my six-wheeled vehicle.
And then you got stuck behind a mountain that was also behind another mountain and you had to reload the level.
Did that happen to you?
Yes, like every freaking time I took the Mako out. It's like
it never happened to me because my Commander Shepard was competent.
Yeah, thank mine you. Too.
My Commander Shepard was too busy being a complete bitch to everybody, and you know, she's a good captain, not a good driver.
Totally amazing. I'm looking at the ports list of
sexism.
Of Moon Patrol.
Good captain.
Doesn't there have been many driver. Ports of Moon Patrol to home computers and console game systems, including Apple II, Atari 800, Atari 2600, Atari 5200, Atari ST, ColecoVision, Commodore 64, Commodore VIC-20, Mobile, Moon Patrol EX and Lunar Patrol, MSX, Game Boy Color, PC Booster, Dreamcast, PlayStation, Texas Instruments, TI-99, TRS-80, Color Computer, Windows 95, and ZX Spectrum.
Now keep
but
in
it
mind.
Was never released on the ZX Spectrum.
Now keep in mind, like, all those, like, platforms you just listed... actual Atari had to go in there and make their own version of it. It's not like Williams like had a team making like an Apple II version or a ColecoVision version. That ColecoVision like licensed the rights to make their own version of Moon Patrol. Therefore, people got really weird versions of these old classic games. And like a person who played Moon Patrol on the Commodore 64 had a completely different experience from that person playing on the Apple II or on the 5200. Like
aside from being in green monochrome, the Apple II one's pretty similar to the arcade. It's pretty good.
I remember playing Hega Frogger on an Apple II.
I played a lot of Frogger too.
Yeah. My friend's mom was a school teacher, and while she was like, you know, they're grading papers on a weekend or something like that, we'd go over there and head to the computer lab and play green games.
Sad. We used to play Oregon Trail.
Oh, hold on. Look at this. After completing the first course, your buggy's color changes from pink to red, and the game continues on. Hmm.
So at that point, you're just like, you realize what a huge mistake you've made and just fix it.
Or does the buggy become evil? Did the buggy set these fires on the moon?
Well, what happened is, so in order to continue on, the buggy has to become more rad. And, you know, as great a color as pink is, it's not a rad color.
More rad.
So you have to paint it red to get
from the game. I wonder, is there a game called Rad Buggy?
No, there was.
We need to make that game.
There was a game called Rad Defender, Rad Warrior, something like that, for the
ColecoVision. Was that, did that mean like radiation, or did it mean like radical?
It probably meant both. I convinced myself in my tiny little 8-year-old head so it would not be so incredibly lame that it meant radiation, but it probably meant radical. It was also a terrible game because it was on the color computer too.
This is great. I love this, the description of the gameplay, and I guess this is taken from the actual manual for Moon Patrol. And it says, the player takes the role of a Luna City police officer assigned to Sector 9, the home of the quote-unquote toughest thugs in the galaxy.
And the thugs in question mainly just fly around UFOs, mainly mind their own business. So,
yeah, it's the biggest dangers are like giant pits and hedges.
Hedges.
Also landmines. It turns out They put a lot of landmines over there.
Are we still talking about the moon or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So has anyone been playing Moon Patrol?
Like right now?
No, just like ever in the past week or something.
No.
Well, what have you guys been playing like the last week or something?
I've been playing Yakuza 4 for some reason.
Didn't you complete something before that you really enjoyed, and then you were like,
Binary Domain.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was something else.
Right. Like, this is the same team, so I figured, you know, if I enjoyed Binary Domain, I probably will enjoy this game. And to some extent, that's true. But I think playing Sleeping Dogs right before this kind of not a good idea.
Now, was Yakuza 4 the one that you and Wes were really big on last year, or was that a different Yakuza?
This is the first Yakuza game I've ever played, so I have no idea.
I mean, Brian and Wes were really big on one of the Yakuzas last year. Like, put a game in your list.
I have not played a Yakuza game ever.
That's weird. You guys were talking it up like crazy. What? Maybe I'm...
I think we may have been.
This is one of those grandpa's gone round the bend moments, isn't it?
No, this is it. Last year, not this year's Game of the Year list, which was last year's Game of the Year list, but the year before that Game of the Year list. One of you five people were heavy on Yakuza 4.
I think.
Well, Wes. Matt wasn't here.
That's right.
It might have been Dave.
No, it wasn't Dave.
Who?
David Marchment.
Oh, right. Right. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Just on Big Desk, you would have known.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. It might have been David.
Because I know he likes the Yakuza games, because he was one of the ones who convinced me to try them.
But I'm pretty sure at some point we talked about like the trailer on the Beardcast or something. Yep.
But yeah, this game is like, it started off with me going, I want to stop people talking, I just want to go fight people, and now it's like, stop with the fighting, I just want to hear more stories.
Now, the Yakuza game, the makeup of the Yakuza games always seem confusing to me, mainly because I never played one. Were they like just like outgrowths of the Dreamcast game?
Shenmue,
yeah, the one that nearly killed Sega. Was it just outgrowths of that, or is it like a Japanese GTA, or how's it set up?
It's, from what I can tell from just this one game, it seems like there's a hub world, which is just, you know, a small section of Tokyo. Which, I mean, that may differ for other games. I don't know what the other games are like, because it just gave me, like, you can watch 2 hours of video explaining it, which I did.
Wow, that's... You can do a...
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I got the backstory, at least. But it seems like you get a hub world, and you can just go around and do a couple of missions in them, and sub-stories. And these sub-stories are always like, you know, you're helping this person do X thing. Like, at least the first character in the game, named Akiyama, he's a loan shark that... He only gives to good people, and he makes people pass tests before he gives them money.
So he doesn't exist like in the real world ever.
Okay. Yes, he used to be a homeless guy that came into a big sum of money at one point. So that's why he gives out money. And it appears to me that like most of the sub stories are like lessons about Japanese ideals, because like one of the first guys is a guy who needs money to start a new company because his old company he ran into the ground. Because he refused to downsize and fire people. And so the whole thing is basically this long lesson in teaching him about how downsizing is important and how the health of the company is a bigger deal than making good friends with your employees.
Wait, so is this the story of gas-powered games?
Yes.
Okay.
It is time travel story of gas-powered games.
Amazing.
So is there a moral story about whales and how they have to be destroyed? Or is...
Not that I've seen so far. Okay. There was one about how women should not spend that much money on themselves and should pay down their debts.
That's actually good advice. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Apparently,
somewhat sexist, but good advice.
Apparently, it's an issue in Japan. Maybe like the women just like continually get like huge debts in Japan. Who knows?
And that's not like if you want to level sexism at the game, there's way worse. Way worse. Like, okay, so Akiyama is he owns a hostess club. So all I've been doing for the last, let's say, 3 hours has been gathering women off the street. Who, okay, there's no way to say this that does not make me sound like a pimp, but I'll see people who are, like, fighting with their father and be like, hey, you want to go be a hostess? I'll give you somewhere to live and pay you money.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that basically what a hostess club is? For, like, just a polite word to say, you know, this is a whorehouse? I mean...
Pretty much, yeah. Like, I took one of the girls out to dinner and explained to her how to be nice on dates. Like, oh, make sure to order what he thinks is a favorite food and say, I like that too. And like, and then you wander around the club between hours and like hear what people are saying. Be like, I want an adorable girl. I want a girl that's fun to talk to. I want someone in a gorgeous dress. And you go back and you like arrange her clothes and put on makeup and teach her how to converse with people. Have her read magazines so she can talk about the daily topics.
So it's basically the pimp missions in Saints Row 3 just, like, brought out to a larger degree.
Yes. Mm. And for some reason, I'm, like, obsessed with making all my girls the number one. But after this, there's other characters. There's also, like, a crime backdrop and something about murders and stuff like that. But hostess clubs. So, yeah.
Now, famously, the hostess clubs weren't included in one of the other Yakuzas.
They were cut out of the English version of Yakuza 3.
Yeah.
Yakuza.
Which I'm against, because even if I never touched it, you don't cut stuff out for...
Yeah, especially for lame reasons, like, oh, the audience won't understand this thing. Well, it's a fucking game about Japanese crime culture. It's... What are you thinking?
So the funny thing is, like, okay...
It involves a lot of coaching women to be better at talking to people in general.
To be companions.
Like... So, when you're wandering around the streets, occasionally people will just be like, they'll start fights with you. And the problem is, this happens a lot when you're just trying to get somewhere. Like, so I'll just be wandering around, and like, two or three people on the same street will be like, hey, give me your wallet. And so they'll start like a maybe 2 or 3 minute fight, and it just gets annoying after a while.
So it's like a JRPG with random
sort of, yeah. Hmm. It is very much like, it has RPG trappings, yeah. More RPG than action game. But it's still, like, it has decent character writing and surprisingly good cutscenes that last a really long time. But here's the really stupid thing. It is a Japanese-ass Japanese UI. Like, I didn't save after one thing because I figured I could just skip the cutscenes. Because there's, like, 5-10 minute cutscenes. And I went back to it, and once the cutscene started, you can't skip it. You have to set a thing in the menu beforehand.
I remember, I saw you saying that on Twitter.
Yeah, you have to skip cutscenes in the menu, then go to where the cutscene prompts, then turn it off if you want to turn it back on,
like if you're just skipping one that you've already watched?
Like if you're just skipping one, just one cutscene, then yes, you have to turn it off, then turn it back on.
I guess that's an unfortunate way to do it.
Yes,
that's
it's a very stupid
way to do that.
That too. That too.
And like the UI is just so PS2 era, but I don't know. I'm enjoying the game.
PS2 era was pretty alright.
Yeah, but like it's a bunch of things like pressing select for some reason asks you if you want to go back to the title screen.
Yeah.
Why does it... What? Why would that button be... Why would that be mapped to select?
Yeah.
Why is it not just a thing in the menu? But yeah. Character writing is good. Maybe... I assume once I get to Kazuma Kiryu, which is, I guess, the main character of the entire series, then things will get more action-y and less loan sharky.
Less rapey.
It's very, like, the amount of bullshit minutia you do, and it's totally optional, is crazy. Like, I can go into a store and buy a meal and have them microwave it for me, and while they're microwaving it, I can go read manga at the counter.
Like, how much manga does this thing have in it?
You know what?
Thus far, I've only been able to see, like, covers. Like, Yakuza 4 apparently has actual manga, like, volumes of manga that you can just sit there and read.
You could also just turn off the game and go read some manga. And microwave a burrito.
Well, yeah, that's not entirely fair, because this is the same crap they put inside Grand Theft Auto 4. It's like, if you go to a television set, you can see Ricky Gervais doing a comedy skit. So,
yeah,
about the same thing. Ricky Gervais.
So, did you guys know The Office is still running, the American one?
No, it's not. Stop trolling.
People told me that, like, they've taken some, like, terrible thing with the plot line. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna check this out, and wow, it's really fucking terrible.
I've seen, like, one episode of The Office, and it was the episode where they were all parkour.
I couldn't watch the British one. It was just too dry and slow for me. Yeah. And then the American one fixed that. It just wasn't all that funny.
Yes.
So it's having the exact same problem Scrubs did, where they don't know how to end it. Just let it die with dignity.
I think it's having that same problem that a lot of TV shows are having, where it's making too much money and nobody wants to give up something that makes money.
Surprised the hell at me to see House was still in business.
It's over now.
So yeah. if you were to compare The Office to a video game franchise, which video game franchise would it be?
Final Fantasy.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Mark, what about you?
I've been playing went back to some of the old PlayStation 3 games that I bought like 2 years ago and never, for whatever reason, never actually like played. So I've been playing Saints Row 3.
Nice. Good choice. Yeah.
Finally. Got through to the Deckers Die mission, and
Are you playing on PS3 or something, or
yeah, Xbox? PS3. Yeah, but you're playing on PS3, and we'll go into the horrors in that later. But I'd like to say that I got to the Deckers Die mission, and it's I don't know.
That's the one. That's the VR one.
Yeah,
it's the VR one. And it's a bunch of different games that are piled into it. And I guess if you walk into there not knowing exactly what's going on, it's probably a better effect. But it just, I don't know. It seemed overblown, overhyped. And you know, when I finally got into it, it wasn't particularly like life altering. It wasn't like the death.
Well, if you're expecting it to be life altering, it's not gonna.
Well, you know what I mean. You expect it, this was the best video game moment of 2011, I guess. It was listening
to. Wait, are you saying specifically that moment where you go into the VR world, or?
Just a mission.
Like that level in general. It's a cool level when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
Well, it's goofy and it's fun, but no, for me the best moment of that game is the tiger in the car.
Yeah. That is freaking amazing, and it blew my mind. I had no idea it was gonna happen. You have to drive with a tiger sitting beside you. If you do it so too slowly, the tiger will kill you.
Yeah, well, how far in the game are you?
You've gotta like keep the animal rage slider down to a minimal level.
Yeah, by doing crazy.
Which is the best status bar in the history of video games.
Yeah.
I figure as a wrestling fan, you would have appreciated the whole wrestling angle more.
I'm getting into that more because I just now finished Deckers Die. I haven't done any of the Luchadores missions. Oh,
yeah. That stuff comes after the
Deckers. Okay.
I played a lot of Saints Row 3 co-op with my brother.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun, especially that VR mission, especially at the, I don't know, spoilers, whatever.
Oh, your poor brother.
Yeah, my poor, wait, what?
Playing Saints Row 3 with you is like, you get distracted by the smallest thing, and then just start taking bikes off giant jumps for no reason.
Was that
for
me?
For no reason.
Yes.
Did I do that?
Yeah, we'll be doing a mission, then you'll find a bike, and next thing I know, you're going through a billboard.
Wait a second. You say for no reason.
If we were purposefully dicking around, probably. But
no, we had a plan. You just like the plan easily gets off the rails. I have absolutely no recollection of
this, but I'm sorry.
Well, it was like 2011, so it's a while ago. Well,
and then you and Mike Lemieux got revenge on me when I was like, oh, they're playing Walking Dead. Let's go do some Walking Dead. And they're just like, let's just fucking hit shit with trucks.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. Well, good. Well, enjoy Saints Row 3.
I'm enjoying it. It's just the game has control issues, and I don't know if it's bad controls or just it's trying to do too many things. It's like it has four different grenade options, and I don't know why.
Yeah, just arm one grenade. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just have one.
I don't even remember playing with grenades. Well, I mean, I guess I did, but I don't.
Once you get like a decently powerful gun, you just don't need anything else. Yeah, like you'll up your abilities enough to get like double SMGs with like infinite ammo, and you're done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I upped my like the most powerful pistol, dual wielding explosive bullets, and that was all I used.
Yeah, there does seem to be like this options for the sake of options, which is nice, but it also means that. It's very difficult to keep track of what you're doing at any given time. It's like the triangle button on the PlayStation 3 controller. It not only activates like grabbing hold of someone to use as a human shield, it also activates like jumping into a car. So if someone comes out of the car and you want to hijack the car, there's a good chance you're going to like try and use that person as a human shield instead. All the time you're being like shot at with lasers when you really need to be in that damn car driving away.
Goddamn lasers. Yeah.
There's a lot of little annoying control issues that, I mean, you just kind of have to work through them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's an open world.
I wish I could tell you that there was, like, some trick to it. But, yeah, especially on the PS3 and the PS3 controller, there's some issues that you just have to be okay with.
And I've noticed over, like, playing this game, like, the differences in, like, the 360 controller and the PS3 controller, it's like, this game, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because the button layout or whatever, it sucks on the PS2 PlayStation 3 controller. It's like whenever I try to grip it, it tries to get out of my hands. Or like the 360 controller, when you grip it, it stays there because it's designed for like an adult. But the PlayStation 3 controller is just, it's not ergonomically designed, and none of the buttons are in good places, and the triggers are completely useless.
Wait, let me pitch something to you.
Okay.
How fixed would everything be if there was just a small touchpad on there?
If you put a small touchpad between...
So fixed!
Stick, yeah, if you put a small, completely unnavigable touchpad in a place that I can't reach at all, yeah, that'd fix everything. Yeah, let's... Tell you what, let's go get to fire up Maya, and let's print out like 15 3D objects that show how this is going to work, because that's all the internet has been done for the past week.
There's, so,
I think is that means we're officially broaching the PS4 conversation.
I don't know. That was too good an opportunity for me to let go.
So, has there been anything new announced about that? Like, are people really sure that it's going to be just like the DualShock 2 with a screen in the middle?
There's enough people, like, there's enough confirmation that it's going to be at least a DualShock 2 with something, like some sort of touchpad.
Aren't we on the DualShock 3?
The next one's the
full. Well, the whatever it is.
Well, I mean, you might as well just call it a DualShock, because there's really no difference between
them. Oh, that's right. The DualShock 3 was just that it was wireless.
We'll call it the next DualShock.
It also had the weird triggers.
Let's go all the way. Let's flip it around a little bit. Let's call it the 6-axis 2.
Yeah.
How about these 12-axis? Never mind.
Yeah. No, that's not going to work.
The Batarang 2.
It should have went back with the Batarang, but...
I actually really, really like the idea of the share button, though.
The Bat-to-rang?
Now, the share button is supposed to, like, take the last 30 seconds of what you've done and just post it automatically to your YouTube account or something like that?
There's been various back and forth about what that could possibly be.
It kind of sounds like they played with Miiverse and it's like, oh shit, we gotta copy this.
If it does do that thing where, it'll record, 30 seconds onward... Like, it just happens to keep that last 30 seconds in the bank, and then you can pull that in and record further. That's great. Like, that doesn't matter to anybody but, me and a couple other people, but I think that's amazing and a great idea.
It kind of sounds interesting, but we'll see how that actually goes, because encoding video in the background while trying to run a game is kind of...
Well, I don't know
if that'll work out.
I don't know if it's that difficult because, I mean, Forza, it basically keeps your entire race in memory because you can always just back up anytime you want.
Well, it keeps a record of where you've been, but encoding H.264 video is processor intensive.
Yeah.
And they might just have a chip in there dedicated to doing that, but
The funny thing to me will be is if it's like the Vita's screenshot functionality, because I don't know if you guys, well, I assume you guys have never played with that, but...
No, because we're not one of the three people in the Western Hemisphere with a Vita.
Developers can shut down that functionality depending on where you are. So if there's something they don't want spoiled, they won't let you use it.
Do they just shut it off by default in most games? Ah, fuck you guys.
I've noticed it in a couple of places. Like, for some reason, Marvel vs. Capcom has it. What? Like, if you have certain characters out, it won't let you take a screenshot. And I assume this is some weird-ass licensing thing.
It probably is. They probably don't have the rights to actually, like, post images of, let's say, Doctor Doom or some crap like that. So,
how stupid is that?
It's a licensed game. There's, like, 15,000 things they got to worry about. And it's, like, across different content providers and stuff. So I can see how that happened. But I can also see that happening with the share button, too. So,
yeah.
That said, like, the share button is a neat idea. That's not neat enough for me to convince me to buy a console, though.
Well, if it's like just, you know, just tweet what you just did, that's stupid and that's a huge waste of space and time.
And that's what
I saw somebody say that, I can't remember, you know, if what you are is not an actual Twitter client, chances are I'm not going to send some sort of tweet from you applying to games or other applications or whatever. Like, doesn't Hulu have a, like, tweet this ad that you just watched button? Has that ever been used in the history of ever?
Probably accidentally.
Or, you know, just to see, like, all right, I'll be the one person to do this.
We use Tiny Chat when we're playing that Cards Against Humanity ripoff. Right. And for some reason, when you sign, like, you put your name in for as a guest, it then opens up a window saying, hey, why don't you put that you're here on Facebook? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, how about I not do that?
Wait, who did that?
How about you go to hell?
Scyther did that.
Who was it?
Someone on my Twitter feed. It's like every 5 minutes, there are now three people in the chat. There are now two people in the chat. There are now three people in the chat. It's like, oh, why did you allow this to tweet on your behalf?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm okay tweeting stuff. That's all fine and wonderful. But allowing some company to tweet on your behalf always ends poorly.
Like, when they did it with Uncharted 2, I think. Like, it would just say, so-and-so has finished level 1. So-and-so has finished level 2. Like, that's not interesting. That's an ad.
Yeah. But didn't the one of the Uncharteds famously do that constantly?
That just what I was talking
about?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I miss Uncharted in there. My apologies.
Mark, is it paying attention?
No, I'm paying attention. I just didn't hear a word. I'm sorry. But I do know, like, with Pandora, like, Pandora will come on, and, like, I just heard this neat song. I think people should listen to the song. So I say, I'm going to share this with Pandora. And Pandora said, I don't know how to use Twitter. I got this button, but I don't know, man. Whatever. Here's some more Pandora. Great. Thanks, Pandora. I'm glad I didn't pay for you.
Jeez.
But so, PlayStation 4. Or we want to talk about what we're playing.
I will just briefly say that I've been playing Proteus on the PC.
What's Proteus?
It's playing a child's painting, basically.
See, every time someone says Proteus, I think they're saying Parodius.
Parodius?
The parody version of Gradius.
Oh,
It's like it had a bunny girl and she rides a missile.
I assume you're saying...
Okay, Parodius. No, this is Proteus. Yes. It's procedurally generated, or I guess randomly generated, not procedurally. I don't know. There's probably a difference.
Same thing?
No. Procedural is like as you go, it creates more random. It's just one location, basically. Okay. It generates island.
Okay. Procedural just means that there is an algorithm that built the stuff you're seeing. Randomly generated means that not only is there a procedure building the stuff, but it's randomly picking what to build.
So procedural would be like Skyrim.
Yeah, they because don't actually make the world is stuff. Defined, but it's not necessarily defined as a huge mesh of polygons.
Yeah.
What it says is there's a tree here, and then as you go along, it builds the tree based on where you are.
Okay.
You know, whether or not it should be really detailed or not. Yeah. That's procedural. Random is when it's like, let's just build a mountain, and let's throw shit on there.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so it's the game is it's about exploration. So, you know, you walk around this island, you kind of, there, everything kind of makes music. It's, I think Rock Paper Shotgun defined it or kind of described it as the, you know, the best song you'll ever play. So you kind of, you wander around this island, you see the pretty sights. It's really, really pretty. There are funny little frogs that will hop away from you as you walk around, and, kind of every night there's sort of a day night cycle. You know, there's this light, this twirling rope of fireflies around that you see, and you kind of go into there and it goes to the next season. So there, so, as far as I know, there are like four seasons every time you play.
So is all this like flat sprites? Because I'm looking at the video right now. It just
Sort of. I mean, yeah, everything.
Not that I'm knocking it, but that's a cool
idea. No. I know. So like the ground is 3D. I mean, that's, you know, those, that's made up of polygons, and everything else I'm pretty sure is kind of sprite based or flat. You know, trees are kind of a cross section, or not a cross section, but an intersection of, you know, two flat tree sprites.
So every time you look at the tree like head on, it always has the same like.
You can walk around it. It's not like I can't think of another example. It's not like Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you go around an enemy, he's always facing the same plane on you. But there are certain 3D things. But no, it's a game about exploration. You know, you get a sense of childlike wonderment. And it's just kind of delightful to play. It's just kind of fun and pretty. It's the kind of thing that I kind of have been, and that you might just want to play every night before bed.
Now, not to be that guy, but you say it's a game. I'm not seeing a goal here. Is there a goal, or you just
The developer actually wrote a thing about that.
Okay.
God, what is it? What our game? Here we go.
Shut up, you neckbeard bastard. This is art. Is that what they
say? No, well, it's, you know, I mean, the developer doesn't, you know, he says he doesn't call it an anti-game or not game. He calls it a game.
Okay.
You know, because that's kind of what he made it as. So, I don't know. It is what.
What he should do is he should port Far Cry 3 to this engine.
Yeah,
and just make that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So the other day, and I don't know. I don't think anybody really picked up on it or anything. But I was kind of having fun with, because the developer was kind of making fun of this as well. But I started posting Proteus Pro Tips. Just to kind of make fun that it's, you know, that it's, you know, whether it's a game or not. So, you know, I said, like, Proteus pro tip from the options screen, type IDDQT to turn on God mode. IDDQT. Because the joke being that you can't get hurt.
Right.
Or type IDKFA while in game to get all the weapons that Proteus has to offer, which is obviously none. So, yeah. No, but it's really neat and worth playing. And it's a fun little experience.
Definitely seems like something to pick up on the. I noticed it's on the Humble Store. That's why I bring it up.
It's also on Steam.
It is on, okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
This came out like same day as Antichamber, didn't it?
I think I'm pretty sure it did. Yes.
Is anyone playing that? Because I don't know what that is. People are talking about it.
I have not been playing that.
I'm not playing
it. On my wish list.
I'm not playing Antichamber because apparently it's $15, and that seems steep for something.
Well,
like that.
Well, from what I understand, it's you know, it's a first person puzzle game.
Yeah,
I guess somewhat akin to Cube, Q-U-B-E, or, you know, Portal.
Yeah,
Quantum Conundrum, or any number of those. So
But that's the problem. It's
supposed
when
to be really good. A lot of people are saying good things about it.
Yeah, that's the kind of the problem when you say it's a great puzzle, first person puzzle game like Portal 2. I'm sitting there, so why should I pay $15 for this and not play Portal 2? No one's really answered that question.
At least as far as I know.
Well, that's the other thing. Portal, you could say it's a really nice puzzle, first-person puzzle game like Portal 2, but then if somebody says, well, what's Portal 2? You could describe that game.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Well, I guess I haven't looked for anyone to describe it, so...
I've been avoiding
it. I think it has been described. I just, you know, I just haven't really looked for it.
Because people keep saying you should not know anything about it before going in. But I'm like, that's a decent argument when a game is $5.
Yeah.
Right, impulse buy territory. Oh.
Yeah, I kind of want to like know something about what I'm spending $15 on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure
the knowledge is out there.
You say, oh, it's a non-Euclidean geometry game.
Non-Euclidean?
Yes, which doesn't actually mean anything either. So like the geometry doesn't make sense in this puzzle game. So I know we're knocking a game like we've never actually played, and that's kind of terrible, and I apologize for that.
Non-Euclidean criticism.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to pronounce that. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know, if you no one's willing to define it. So,
well, are you sure about that? I think that's kind of jumping the gun. I think people have probably described it or defined it. I mean, have you looked for it? Or have you stumbled upon it? You haven't stumbled upon it, but I'm sure it's there.
I don't know. It's just, I'm agreeing with Imran here. It's like, there doesn't seem like anyone who can describe what it does. If you're not willing to describe what it does, then I'm not sure. I don't know. $15 seems steep for a game that you don't know what the hell you're doing. Ever.
So speaking of Steam, did you guys see that massive leak of, like, Steam registry entries?
Right, that had, like, what was on it again?
All the, like, Halo 1 through 3, right. King of Fighters 13, older King of Fighters, like, Ultimate Match games. Like, there was a lot of crazy stuff on there. It says, obviously.
Stuff right. that's going to be released, or what?
Yeah, probably going to be at some point.
Registry means that someone intends to put that game there.
Yeah.
So all the Halo, just Halo 1 through 3, or all the Halo games, or?
Just 1 through 3 was
Halo,
all that was
Halo
on there.
Halo 5, PC exclusive, bitches.
Though I think if those do really well, they'd probably, you know, port Reach and ODST.
Yeah. ODST.
But there's also a bunch of games that, like, we knew about that are coming, so maybe, you know, there might be some credibility to this list. Like, Resident Evil Revelations was there, like, almost immediately after it was announced. So who knows? I think it would be neat to have Halo 3 on there, because I'd probably play that game on PC.
Yeah. You're not missing a whole heck of a lot.
I'd probably play King of Fighters 13 on PC.
Yeah, I'd do that, especially if they're going to charge, like, normal, like, Steam prices for that, because I'm not paying, like, $40 for King of Fighters. Sorry, King of Fighters dudes, but no.
So I've also been playing Knights of Pen and Paper on iOS, and I've been really enjoying that. For a long time, I've been kind of looking for a long game, kind of, you know, but an RPG or whatever, I don't know. Just a game that I could, you know, pick up, play, some, you know, and that would kind of keep me entertained for a long time. And it's really good. I don't know. I see if you guys might have seen me posting a couple things, like an image or two. It's got a lot of neat little nods to games. Like, there's a place called Journey Village, and of course all the villagers look like the Journey guy from Journey, the game. But nice.
Guys who's saying
which Journey the game? Because there's been two.
The sand one.
Oh well, that's boring then.
Yeah.
I don't know how I just totally mind farted on every Journey song at once. That's Kansas.
Yeah, that's the problem. There's no way to tell. Is this Journey? Is this Rush?
Don't Stop Believing. That's the one I was thinking of. Like the most famous song of all time.
Yeah. So it's the name implies, Knights of Pen and Paper, it's an RPG style game. You know, kind of simplified, you know, there are, you know, a couple different classes, and each one has kind of four base powers that you can level up as you go through the game and get XP and whatnot. And then on top of that, like, you can, you know, you can choose which person you want to be playing that class. So, like, you know, little brother, Mr. John, Jock, and then the class comes after that. So I have Jock the Warrior, and, you know, his passive ability is +1 to bonus attack. I have little brother, the Rogue, who has +5 to initiative and stuff like that. But graphically, it's just really fun to look at. The, you know, you've got your characters and the DM sitting at a table on the screen at all times, and then kind of the backdrops that the DM is explaining kind of fade in and out behind the characters as they go. So it's just a really kind of charming game that kind of has a lot going for it. So if you have iOS, I'm pretty sure it's also on Google Play or whatever. You should definitely check it out. I highly recommend it.
Actually, just looked it up, and there is an Android version that's compatible with the Nexus 7 for $2.
Get it. Play it. There are in-game purchases for, like, extra, you know, in-game currency, gold. But I really, it's very non-intrusive, and I haven't really run into the need to kind of buy it yet.
You don't feel like you're missing out by...
No, not at all. Because the game, you actually kind of played the DM and the characters in the game. So you can kind of tailor your difficulty. So there are some battles that are set, but otherwise, when you're going into battles, you can kind of set how many enemies you want to fight. So if you want it hard, you'd add 5. You know, if you want it easy, you know, you just add a couple. It's really got a lot, and I haven't seen a lot of people talking about it. So you should definitely check out Knights of Pen and Paper if you get the chance. Yep, and then finally, I've been playing Dungeon Land a bit with my brother. which is a game by I'm drawing a blank on the name. Paradox?
Parodius? Parodius? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, Parodius.
Yeah.
I'm trying to view the store page right now. Why can't I? All right, let's see. I'm sorry, but I think it is Paradox. The guys that made Magicka. You guys remember Magicka? No?
I played that for vaguely. Once, and like, I couldn't get a handle on the controls, so I
Magicka is a, yeah, it's an interesting game control-wise. But they put out this game Dungeon Land, which is sort of a combination of that. Like, there are ways that different characters' attacks and abilities interact. Like, you know, the mage can lay down a flame wall, and then the rogue can, you know, throw kunai through it, and they'll become flame kunai.
Oh, sweet. So
it's sort of like a simplified version of Magicka, with three set classes and kind of shorter gameplay, which is sort of what Magicka needed. Magicka's levels were very long. And I kind of remember playing it. I you know, get a little zoned out playing through them. But this is set up that, you know, you just kind of, you go through and, you know, you're on gold, you go through levels, you fight a boss. Like, they have a boss called the Beer Holder instead of a Bee Holder. You know, Great. The giant eye monster from the, so. I've been playing a bunch of, like, dungeon D&D games or something. It's pretty fun, especially co-op. If you get four people, somebody gets to play the Dungeon Master and kind of, you know, it, I guess at that point it's almost like a tower defense game for that person. So there's a neat little asymmetrical gameplay going on there if you get enough people together.
Now, do you stab anyone in the dick?
No. Oh, man. No, there's no dick stabbing in this game.
How archaic.
Yeah, it's pretty archaic. Man, that's pretty great. Well, not really.
Dick stabbing in general? What am I missing?
Imran linked this animated GIF from Killzone Mercenary, which is coming out for the PlayStation Vita, of like a melee kill where the guy, you know, I don't know, like, stabs him in the neck first, or maybe that second. Well, anyways, at some point, the knife you were carrying gets shoved into a guy's crotch area. So I mocked up a little image using the kind of italics white font text or black outline for simulator games that just said Dick Simulator 2013. Or no, Dick Stabbing. Dick Stabbing Simulator 2013.
I was kind of expecting you to make the whole GIF like the Nitro Beard banner.
Maybe I should do that.
Now, you said this is a Vita game. I wonder if, like, the conceit was that the guy is just standing there in, like, portrait mode and you select where to stab him. So he's like, stab in the dick, then stab in the neck, and it's all up to you. Maybe it's like dynamic stabbing, which in that case...
dynamic dick stabbing technology.
Dynamic stabbing, yeah. In which case, I don't know why you wouldn't stab anybody anywhere other than the dick. I mean...
The DDST. Our DDST technology takes games to new levels.
No, the acronym should probably spell dick. Dick Interactive... something kills.
Cock media.
No, oh, Dick Interactive, man. Contextual kills. There we go.
Pen Island.
Yeah, no.
So I'm glad I looked at this gameplay video of Antichamber, which has been kind of playing in the background.
Yeah.
This game looks not fun.
How's that?
I mean, it's a puzzle game, I guess.
It looks like a puzzle game in that you just keep doing the same wrong thing over and over and over again until you happen upon a solution.
So it doesn't
look like there's an actual puzzle happening here so much as they're using portals, well, the concept of portals, to make impossible levels and then just screwing with you.
Yeah, like, there does seem to be a fair amount of kind of mystery meat in the game.
Yeah, just do random shit until hopefully you happen upon a solution. But it's not like you could have thought your way through this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to play. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's got to be some. It doesn't have to be, but I assume there is some sort of method to the madness. So I don't know. I'd kind of especially with a game like this that's so abstract, I'd have to reserve judgment until I actually play
this. This just reminds me of like the end of the first Super Mario Brothers, where eventually you just had to learn the path you're supposed to take through Bowser's Castle through trial and error, because there's no way to actually figure it out. You're just going to try random things until you run out of time, and eventually you'll memorize the correct path. Yeah. That seems like a bad way to design a game. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it out someday, especially if it hits a Steam sale, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be like $2 in a Steam sale at some point.
Yeah.
Or in a Humble Bundle of some sort.
Well, I don't know. Isn't the spring sale going to be soon?
Presumably spring.
Right. When's that?
This year it's in autumn.
This year spring is in autumn. All right. Yeah. I don't remember that. I always forget that.
I don't know. Then again, it's probably not being fair to the game to look at a YouTube video, especially at something as abstract as that, and say, well, I don't know.
It's not fair to look at this game through this YouTube video because I just want to yell at the person who's playing it.
Yeah.
Do anything.
Sounds like some Giant Bomb quick looks.
Yeah.
They're so bad at video games.
Do something.
Just kidding. All right. Should we take a break?
Sure. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Hey kids, this is Mark Bradshaw with NotYourBeard.com here to celebrate your Cody Sweet 16 Build-A-Bear Party, which apparently does not include Cody as the person having the party.
This is why we usually don't let Mark bring us back.
All I'm saying is there's no reason not to suspect it's not Cody Sweet 16 Party. I don't know who Cody is, number one.
Oh my god. I don't, yeah. Well, no, that's okay. I don't either. Anyways.
I'm sitting here watching my, like, orders page for Amazon. If, like, Fire Emblem delivery estimate changes at all, I'm going to freak out.
F5.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Fire
Emblem is having distribution problems. It's just a theory, but I'm
guessing it happens to a lot of games.
Like, they had to produce more Animal Crossing carts in Japan, so probably Fire Emblem got fucked.
So you didn't download it?
No. I don't like downloading games. I like buying them.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you get a discount if you buy the game, like download it at least?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm pretty sure they're exactly the same price.
See, that's probably, yeah. Yeah, if you're not going to cut me a deal on not getting the cart and like having to deal with your stupid DRM, then
right.
A few services recently who totally missed the point on that. It's like if you're saving the overhead on all the production costs,
right, on physical,
then pass me a little bit of savings.
Yeah. Right, that's one reason I haven't bought Little King Story and Earth Defense Force on the Vita, because they're full price, even though there's no retail version, period, and there's no reason to not like piss off retailers.
Yeah, I've got some qualms about that when it comes to Steam as well. I mean, I guess I sort of understand, but
it's kind of funny because it doesn't bother me at all on PC. Like, everything should be digital there. I'm not going to buy a physical PC game. Right. That's stupid.
Right.
But on other things, it's extremely unlikely if I have another option. And on the other hand, like, I'm never going to buy XBLA games on a disc.
I think there was one point, you know, where I had that thought about Steam and buying games digitally versus a, you know, a physical copy. And you know, I should, you know, it should be cheaper then. But I think that was like just a long time ago. I think at this point, especially since you can almost always save like $5 off of a full price game if you pre-order it on Steam. And that, you know, for me is enough really. Or of course,
or if you wait like a month.
Wait a month and you can get it on sale. Yeah. But yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're also having to trust like these guys, like horrible DRM policies not to fuck you over. It's like, we've seen what Nintendo thinks about with its online offerings, and like they can barely like understand the idea of online accounts. I'm not sure I trust them to understand the idea of DRM and not to like just cut off that game entirely one day.
Well, that
baby
is
shrieks. Sorry about the baby shrieks.
That's actually kind of what happened with the transition from the Wii to the Wii U. It's like you can have your games transferred over, but all those virtual console games, we don't know if we're actually going to release those on the Wii U or not. We haven't decided yet. And you'll be able to buy them at a discount if you already bought them.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it's like, that's, I mean, like, kind of shitty.
Yeah, that
you can still play them.
Really,
it's just
really
you can't
shitty.
Play the updated versions, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I kind of wonder if, like, maybe Microsoft is looking at that thinking, hey, a dollar fee would probably be pretty decent profit if we put, like, new things in there.
Now, I'm going to give them a little bit of credit for actually improving them in some way when bringing them over. But it's insane how long it takes them to release emulator games.
Yeah.
And it's also insane that just, like, there's not any overlap between, like, the 3DS emulator games and, like, the Wii U shop games. It's like, if you have, like, a 16-bit game, there's no reason why that shouldn't be on the handheld. You know? It's just dumb. So.
I think they probably would be better off if they just made ROM dumps instead of trying to customize each emulator to each game.
Yeah.
Oh, they could copy open source emulators and they'd be mostly fine.
Well, do what Sega does and, like, actually license those things.
Yeah.
They pay the creators of D-Gen, I think. Like, that's why we had that all those, like, essentially emulator-wrapped ROMs on Steam.
Yeah. So just to be clear that I heard you right, you were saying that Nintendo should do something that Sega did.
Sega isn't completely all bad ideas.
Okay.
Like, they did do Bayonetta better than Sega.
Okay. Damn you.
Sega did what?
Damn you.
All right.
We don't know that yet. We haven't played Bayonetta 2. It might suck. We don't know that
actually,
yet.
Actually, there's a decent chance it might, because it's not Kamiya, so who knows. Yeah. There could be a full-on Beautiful Joe 2 thing going there.
What's the matter with Beautiful Joe 2? But anyway.
Yep.
I didn't like it so much. I liked it less than one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we were gonna end this.
We are gonna wrap soon, and yeah. We would just like to say so. We're gonna.
This podcast is turning into Final Fantasy.
And also I forget what we alluded to Final Fantasy to. The Office, right? This podcast is The Office. We're gonna bring back Illiterates Book Club. Possibly do away with the voting, but we don't know. We'll see what we do, but we may just decide amongst ourselves to find a game that kind of suits well for all of us and decide.
One thing we will do with Literature's Book Club, though, apparently, is to, like, walk away from, like, the very long narrative-driven games, because it's difficult to, like, sit down with a weekend. Let's say you have a weekend to, like, spend with Assassin's Creed 3. You're still not getting a lot of experience out of Assassin's Creed 3. Meanwhile, you can spend like an hour with
also babies.
Yeah, okay. Also babies.
Oh,
and babies. So, so much for putting the baby down.
So we're gonna do that, and then also an idea that I've been tossing around for a while after seeing David Coulter, who used to run ThickMustache.com. He's a comedian down in DC. Does some good stuff. Runs a podcast called Hollywood Pitch Fun Time. And every week they have half an hour to pitch a Hollywood movie. And they kind of go through different genres and stuff. And I've been wanting to apply that same formula to video games. So kind of take a general genre or idea, just a very vague concept for a game, and just really kind of flesh it out and see where it goes with all of us on free to play here. Game mechanics, the enemies, even possibly a story. So I think it could be a fun thing.
It's going to be a princess. She's going to get kidnapped, and you have to rescue that princess.
So
genre. Imagine babies.
Imagine genre.
Yes.
So we'll probably do that. And I don't know. I think we might want to start with the idea we talked about a couple casts ago about kind of reverse Metroid, where you start with all of your powers or add-ons and kind of lose them as you go through the game. And see how we might be able to make that work and give us a surrounding story.
Or Moon Patrol 2.
We could pitch Moon Patrol 2 as a modern AAA $60 game. So something like that. I think it could be fun. So if you have any ideas for that, feel free to leave it either a comment kind of on the show page or send a tweet to any of us on Twitter or whatever. We're in various social media places. Find us on LinkedIn.
Yeah, okay. Nope. Sure.
Are we on LinkedIn?
Nope.
No, we're not on LinkedIn.
No.
How about be on LinkedIn?
Should we?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't know.
How about the ladders? Can we get hooked up with the ladders? I think we need to be on the ladders.
We need to be on Vine. Tweet us on Vine. Just tell us on Vine. All right.
Vine us.
Yeah. So that's it from us. Unless, Matt, were you going to say something? You said you seemed like you were amazed by something.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Doesn't get amazed by things. All right. Ever. Well, thanks for listening. Episode 18 of Free to Play. Mark, take us out.
So what I was thinking was, like, your wife's brain is inside the moon buggy, right? And you're trying to get through to across this radiated landscape.